And really, this connects to what I want to talk about again today. I began last week under this Uncertain Summer series about pray now. This is the second message under that subtitle. And I just want to remind you that God and His love are the center of this story. It's the motivation for the challenge before us today. He created you and me. He created all of us, not for rules and not for religion, but for relationship, for genuine relationship. And if I know anything, I don't know everything, but if I know anything about relationships, that every healthy relationship, there's one thing you can't ignore, and that is there must be communication and connection. Agreed? And that's a problem when it's not there. You cannot possibly have a good relationship if those two things are not there. And so because of His love, and because of the communication and connection through prayer, I want to state how much prayer matters. In fact, I've said it this way, that your prayer and your presence is God's love language. In other words, our undivided attention, our communication with Him, that is His love language. That's what He desires, deserves, and delights in from all of us. I love what 1 Thessalonians says in 5:16, or several of the verse there, whatever the verse starts. Always, here's the admonition, listen carefully. Always be joyful. When I pause there and I think, you know what that means? That means that joy has little or nothing to do with circumstances. Is anybody glad about that? You can have joy without the circumstantial frills. Never stop praying. Does that need explanation? Never stop praying. We'll sing at the end, don't stop praying. But here's the key. Be thankful in all circumstances. There it is. That's where joy comes from, because you don't go circumstantial. You go joy and thankfulness regardless of what's going on around you. For this is God's will for you and you and you and me and all of us. It's God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus, for you who have a relationship, who say you represent Him on a daily basis. This is what He wants from you. To never stop praying, to be thankful in everything, to be full of joy. Now, if you don't know Jesus, I mean, these are good tools, but the problem is He's the joy source. And you can manufacture it in other directions, but He's the giver. I like to say it this way, what I heard recently, that relationships, and that's what prayer's about, relationships multiply joys and divide sorrows. And when I think about relationships, I'm thinking of it this way. I look at the cross, and you realize the vertical beam, that represents this relationship. What's the vertical beam represent? Jesus stretched out His arms for all of us. He connected the dots. That's what it's all about. Multiplies the joys and divides the sorrows. So don't stop praying. Or start praying, whatever may apply to you. And that's not about bending God's ear in your direction and begging Him to do what you want, when you want it, how you want it. It's really about knowing God so we can do His will. It's about that relational connection. That's what prayer's about. Did you know that? But sometimes, as I told you last week in my life, and I'm sure you can relate, sometimes I pray and pray and things don't happen as I think they should or might or could, and I know God can do anything, and it's sometimes like my prayers and our prayers are bouncing off a very low ceiling. Have you ever experienced that? And so I think there are some things that we need to take care of and be mindful of that clear out that channel, some prayer blockers, we'll call it, if you will. And I don't have an exhaustive list, but I want to deal with a couple today and a couple next week if I could. I plan on it. But the first of all, not my main point, but I was just thinking about this. One of the biggest prayer blockers is not to pray. No brainer, huh? No brainer. The Bible talks about that. And then at other times, we're praying for others and there's other people seemingly connected to our prayers, and God will never take away their free will. And sometimes our prayers don't come to fruition because there's people with free will and they are for whom we're praying and they're not cooperating with God. They're resisting Him, okay? Those things are true. So know that. Your prayer isn't automatic that they're going to yield their free will to Him. But the big two I want to talk about today, the first one is, a real hindrance to our prayer, something that interrupts the reception, is broken relationships. Broken relationships. In fact, if your heart's heavy today and you're listening online, watching online, listening today, that so affects how we come in, even to worship on Sunday. The relational connections in our lives, that has so much to do with our attentiveness to God. So it's this way. But it's also this way. Jesus made some huge promises about prayer, and we've read this one, but I'll go back to John 14. It says this, you can ask for anything, but it doesn't stop there. You can ask for anything in my name. What does that mean? We talked about it last week. Remember, we close most prayers in Jesus' name. What does that mean? And I will do it when you pray in my name, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. What's the purpose of answered prayer? So that the Son can point to the Father and bring glory to his name. Yes, he doubles down, 14, ask for anything in my name, according to my will, and I will do it. I've added those words. And that connects with one of our life verses around here, John 12, 28a, where Jesus said, Father, bring glory to your name. Bring glory to your name. And then Jesus stated another one in Mark 11, 24. You can pray for anything. If you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. This passage that I read comes out of a dialogue between Jesus and his disciples, and he was teaching them about faith and about prayer, and Jesus made this huge promise about the Father answering prayer, but he does qualify, because you read on in verse 25, it says this, but when you are praying, or listen, as you are praying, got that? As you are praying, not before or after, but as you are praying, when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So I would have to say, we have different definitions of sin with different backgrounds, but I've got to say, if we're holding on, if we're nursing and nurturing a grudge, that is sin in our life, and that has to be dealt with, because that's a prayer blocker. First service, I could sense the Holy Spirit working with people. Several people used the altar, but I saw reconciliations happening with my own eyes. Qualifies it. And by the way, I just want to add this. We'll at the end probably pray the Lord's Prayer, and we do it the King James way. I love it, what it says. Jesus said this, how to pray. Have you noticed how it starts out? Think about this. This is the whole idea. He starts out with praise, right? Our Father which art in heaven, what? Hallowed be your name. I mean, that's raw praise. And then what's the next lines deal with? Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know what? A lot of times we kind of mumble that, toward the end, it's kind of a throwaway phrase. Oh, I pray all this, I want this, and I don't know if you'll do it or not, but your will be done. But Jesus gave us an example of saying, praise you, Father, and we want to pray according to your will right from the very beginning, right here, right now. God drives this truth into our hearts. And sometimes he may whisper to our hearts and spirit. Before we talk about this list and requests, and we can make our needs to be known and cast our cares on him for sure, but I think the Holy Spirit would whisper to our hearts, let's deal with matters in your heart. Let's deal with your relationships. Because if relationships are out of kilter, it can really interfere. We can try to ignore it, but it doesn't go away. I don't know what your experience is, but when I'm struggling with an attitude, and maybe it's unforgiveness, and maybe it could be long-term, but it could be something, something that Dixie and I had, when I get in the tub and start soaking, it's like I start praying for things, and it's like I can hear, and I'm sure this isn't theologically correct, but I can almost sense the Holy Spirit going, I told the first service that reminded me of my dad growing up, because if I was cutting up on the front seat, Judy can relate, I could sit anywhere I wanted in the church as long as the first or second row. But I had to be on the piano organ side. Depending if my mother's playing the organ, I had to be there, piano on this side. But if I was carrying on with a friend, not paying attention in the world, all of a sudden I'd hear this thunderous, that means you're going to get it when you get home. And I knew exactly what that meant. And even if I went to the altar, at the end of the invitation, my dad would have a long memory. And I must confess, and probably I should have confessed that first service with the wrong motivations. That's sometimes when I went to the altar hoping they'd forget about the punishment that I was going to receive. The discipline I was going to receive when I got home. But I know for this, let's say Dixie and I have had a mix-up, a dust-up, and when we have a struggle, it's usually me. I just own it. I'm maybe quiet and not communicating enough, but if I get upset at her, then I go. And so if the Holy Spirit started talking to me when I soak in the tub, I decided to start taking more showers. But that didn't work either. And it's like, I might start praying for all of you, and I hear that, and it's like the Lord's redirecting me, said, first of all, you need to call your wife in here, and you need to apologize to her for your rotten, stinking attitude, or for the way that you said something. And I can't get around that. I'm feeling lonely today up here. Can anybody else relate to something like that? I mean, I try to go around it, but it's like the Holy Spirit wants, because why? That's because he loves us so much. He says, I don't want anything to come between us. I mean, when you're hugging somebody, do you want to hug them through a glass, you know, or something like this between us? No, you want to be close. And that's what the Lord desires from us. To keep those channels clear. Keep them clear. And when there's disobedience in our life, that starts clogging the channel. Now, I'm not suggesting a works, faith by works. That's not it at all. But when we really love him, we want to live in obedience. We want to be as close to him as possible, do we not? So we want to get rid of anything that might hinder. And I think for some of us, you're wondering why your prayer's ineffective, and you're feeling that primarily because there are things that you haven't considered for a long time that are out of sorts relationally, and the Holy Spirit wants to take you back and go, not based upon their response or reaction, but I want you to take the first step towards reconciliation. It could be towards parents towards kids, family. It doesn't matter what this truth applies. It may be at work. It may be with a boss or with those who work for you and with you. So when I'm obedient to the Holy Spirit and I call Dixie in and I say, I am really sorry, then I just know freedom and I can pray freely. But there have been times where I've resisted the Holy Spirit and I've said, I can't get it out. Dixie, come here. I just can't do it. I won't do it. And I want to tell you, the rest of my day doesn't go north. It goes south until I'm willing to deal with that. Why in the world am I so stubborn? Why are you stubborn? Why are you laughing? I should ask. In other words, what I'm seeing, what God's word is telling us, I want you to keep the channel clear. And one thing, you know, we expect that with cell phones and now and all the digital access and all we have, we expect everything instant, and it drives us crazy when we're talking to somebody and you're on the road or something, whatever's happening, and they disappear, and you keep talking or they keep talking, and 5 minutes later, but the clicker's still going, you know, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, but there's interference. And like dummies, what do we all do when that happens? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Isn't that the dumbest thing to say? No, they can't hear you. I mean, you can't hear them. But God's saying, I want you to keep the channels clear. The line is continuously open. The prayer line is always open. But are you availing yourself of the opportunity to talk to me? I think another blocker in this whole attitude thing is sometimes we're more like we get into the silent treatment mode. And usually, I'll relate that back to our home. If I don't follow the Holy Spirit and make things right with Dixie, then I usually get into the silent mode, and that's like pretend you're the only person in the house. How demeaning, how horrible is that to be at? How awkward is that? Does that put tension in your home and relationship? And I just want to remind you that many of us, sometimes our prayers are ineffective because we're giving God the silent treatment. Maybe because he didn't do what we think he should or when we think he should, but for whatever reason, we're basically ignoring him and we're not taking the action step that he wants us to take, the action step of obedience about a right relationship, about whatever it may be that creates distance. When we try to pray and ignore relational fractures in our lives, and we try to talk to God like nothing's wrong, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work. That impedes the progress of prayer. Unforgiveness, I wrote, hinders the prayer connection. We wanted to. I want to control the topic, but God wants to deal with the forgiveness issues, and he'll gently keep taking us back to that point. That's evidence, as the Bible points out, in family relationships, especially in marriage. And in 1 Peter, we read about it where it says, in the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives. And so the Holy Spirit talks me out of that. You weren't honoring Dixie with your attitude, with your words, with your silence. So treat your wife with understanding as you live together. And I circled that word understanding because the only way I can have understanding of Dixie is to ask and to listen and to learn, right? It goes on, she may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. So what I'm trying to tell you is when I don't treat her right, my prayers are hindered, and God wants to talk to me about that. Does anybody else suffer from that besides me? I thought, man, I am really feeling alone now. I mean, you all need to tell me how. Treat her as you should. Have the right attitude. Live in the right way so that your prayers will not be hindered. Romans 12:18 gives us the admonition in every version. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. It's not based upon them. It's based upon what God wants you to do. You be the initiator. It has nothing to do with their response. God says, you be obedient to me. Isn't it amazing? Have you ever seen God use your obedience when it wasn't appreciated, responded to correctly? But we leave the result to God. We just say, that opens up the channel, so I'm good to go. I'm good to go with you. I'm praying, but I leave the result to you. I'm not expecting a certain outcome. I'm not expecting them to respond to me in a certain way or react in a certain way, God. I'm going to leave that up to you. He doesn't want us to try to change the subject and avoid the reality of broken relationships. I want to tell you, I'll say it again, broken relationships are always a prayer hindrance, a prayer blocker in our lives, always. And no matter how much you try to stiff arm it, it will not go away because the Holy Spirit will keep it front and center. Psalm 66, and I just pulled out verse 18, but you could read 16 through 20 to get a full appreciation for it. But the psalmist writes, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. In other words, he wants to talk about, he doesn't want to talk about other things. He wants to get that cherished, that protected sin, that compromise, that out of the way so that there's a clear channel of communication. That's a loving thing to do. That's not a judgmental thing at all. And then read on about verses, the next verses after that, 19 to 20, that he did listen. But it was his humility and his posture. This truth is so practical and applicable in the family relationship, as I mentioned. We do our part and we allow God to do his. You do right and let God do the rest. You can't change your spouse. You can't change your kids. You can't change your grands. But you can ask, listen, you can ask and allow God to change your thoughts and your attitudes and your behaviors. And how many of you know that's transformational many times? You're all hepped up and ready to pray about somebody, and God wants to talk to you about you. And have you ever had the experience like me when I get my attitude right and the channel's clear, that this thing clears up mysteriously? Yeah. Still talking about things that hinder our prayers. In fact, Matthew 5:23 goes on and takes it to a deeper level. It says, when you're in the temple and you're presenting your sacrifice at the altar, and I'm just skimming it, but someone has something against you, leave their sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled, then come back and offer your sacrifice to God. Do what God's Spirit tells you to do. That's a place of freedom. So Jesus is teaching us, first things first, love me and love people, living in loving matter, long to do what pleases me. So I have a question for you before I move on to the second one, and that is this. Is there any kind of a relationship that needs healing attention? I'm not asking you to think it up. I'm asking you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says again, as you pray, the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth to you. As you pray, not necessarily before you pray or after, that may happen, but it's as you pray. Is there a relationship in your life that needs healing attention? If so, that can become a prayer blocker, whether you know it or recognize it or not. Broken relationships. The second one is this. It's about the motives of our heart. How's the motivation of your heart? I know this to be true, that praying with the wrong heart motive can be detrimental to our prayer life. And many times, the broken relationships, but also leading to this, that's why we don't even pray, because we don't want to have to deal with that. And we know that's what God's Spirit wants to talk about. We may need a heart desire adjustment, if you will. What does James 4, part of 2 through part of 4 go? You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Okay, that goes back. Prayerlessness, what do you expect? But then, verse 3, and even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You only want what gives you pleasure. In other words, you only want your way. You really don't want God's way, you want your way. And then the beginning of the next verse and continues on, but the first two words say, you adulterers. Wow, that's a serious accusation. That's a serious word. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, here's basically what that's saying to me, that you're basically saying, God, you're not enough. You may be good, but you're not supplying all of my wants and desires. So I'm going to go somewhere else to have my needs fulfilled, when I should be going to you. Instead of going to you, I'm going to go to someone or something else. That could be something for comfort. It could be an addiction, whatever the case may be. God said, I want you to have your needs met in me. I'm the constant joy source. I'm the source. I'm the beyond circumstance joy source. I wonder if, like me, any of you have ever prayed with the wrong motive. I don't know that I've done it intentionally. I probably have, but a lot of times I don't even think about it at the time until the Holy Spirit begins to clear his throat once again. I'm sure when I was a youth pastor, I know you teens are much more sophisticated now than the old timers that I used to have, but some of my guys and gals would pray something like this. Dear Lord, please save that gorgeous guy or gal, and by the way, help them be attracted to me so I can date him, if it be your will. yeah, that sounds good, but it can be so selfish. And I want to caution you, because prayer can become a manipulative tool in our minds if we're not careful. Or how about these prayers? Hey, let's make a deal, God. If I do this, you do that. If you do this, then I'll do that. Now, I know their testimonies in particular. I've heard men and women from the battlefield that have been in a very dangerous, life-threatening position, and they've said, God, if you get me out of this place, I'll serve you the rest of my life. There's glowing testimonies about that, but I want to tell you, that's few and far between. You don't make a deal with a God who is all-knowing and all-powerful. The one that Romans chapter 11, verse 33, that I often read, refers to. Jesus had a hard message for the religious right, which were the religious wrong, in Matthew 23. He said, everything they do is for show. And it goes on, outwardly you look like righteous people, but inwardly your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. In other words, there's problems in your life because you're saying one thing and living another. How many of you know that damages, that hinders your prayer life? That clogs the channel. And when it comes to the request and the motivation of our hearts, why in the world would God ever give you something that keeps you from recognizing your need for him? That's why we've got to make sure we're praying in Jesus' name, according to his will. Why would he grant a prayer that doesn't align with his word and his will? God wants to lead us away from selfishness, not enable it. And his word still says, ringing clear, loud and true, in Exodus 20, verse 3, no other gods, only me. I'm your source. And I think a lot of times, I don't know why we wrestle. Well, I don't want to bother God with this, so I take matters into my own hands or go somewhere else. But God said, no, I don't want you to be independent from me. I want you to be God-dependent. Well, broken relationships, heart motivations that are selfish, that aren't aligned with God's will, his word. As I wind down, I just want to ask you a couple more things to consider. And we're going to sing in a little bit. For you, I'm talking from the youngest to the oldest. And I'm not asking you to think it up. I'm asking you basically to go palms up, not in resistance, but palms up and saying, Holy Spirit, show me. Show me. Is there anything in my life that I need to let go of? Is there anything I'm holding on to that you've asked me to let go of? Is unforgiveness turning into bitterness in my life? I mean, how long do you nurse and nurture something before it starts becoming the root of bitterness? Is there a wound that you've been holding on to? Again, those words that you're nursing and nurturing, and you wonder why it hasn't healed or gone away, because you keep holding on. You keep picking at it. Or is there a selfish motive about your prayer life that God's Spirit is gently trying to expose out of His great love? Is there someone specifically I need to make peace with or forgive? Have I been praying with selfish motives? Here's a big one. Am I going to allow God to change my heart before I ask Him to change my situation? We sometimes sing, "Change my heart, O God." God's Spirit is faithful, and He's not bringing up things to shame you. He's bringing, as the Scripture says in 2 Timothy, but He's bringing inspection and correction and direction because He loves you and He wants to hold you close. He wants that constant connection and communication. As I've witnessed in my own life and the lives of many others, many times as a youth pastor with kids, when they really cleared the channel and asked God to just to give them the right motivations and to heal broken relationships. I've seen broken relationships healed. I mean, parents to children, children to parents. And I've seen the hugs and the tears and the sense of God-given peace and the joy. Now multiply that by now and forever. That's what God longs for in your prayer life. Just to be close. And maybe while you're there, this could be a prayer that echoes in your heart and spirit. Dear Lord, something like this. Search my heart, me. I'm not going to blame other people, but search my heart. Purify my motives. Check my motives, Lord. I don't want to be selfish. Please heal my heart. Heal my relationships. And in all circumstances, teach me to pray and help me to pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, aligned with your will, to be certain it's your will. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So be it. So the worship team is coming and they're going to sing that song. And it's not a somber prayer song we often think about. It's by Matthew West called "Don't Stop Praying." And I'm not at all about a downer here trying to say you shouldn't pray. I'm saying let's get rid of the block. Let's pray more. Let's keep praying. Let's pray now. Let's pray about everything. But let's take care of the hindrances. Let's get those blockers out of our lives. So as they sing the song, and I hope that they'll have the lyrics up, and if you have access and you can pull up those lyrics, and I really want you to listen to the words. Be impacted by the words, the hope-filled words of this song, because you can relate to so many of them. But as we sing this and you hear it and let it sink in, if there's a relationship that you need to begin with God through Jesus Christ, if you've never said yes to Him, I invite you to come and begin that relationship today, because that's the essence, that's the start, that's the most important thing of an intimate relationship in prayer. For some of you, there's a relationship that needs to repair, and I invite you to come to these altars and stairs and to lay that down before God. I'm telling you, He's faithful here. You're feeling it. You're sensing Him talk to you. He's giving you a face or a name right now. If you sense selfish motives on your part, and the Holy Spirit's showing that in your prayers, I want you to come and lay it down. I want you to come and surrender that to Him. Specifically, make that course correction. And then some of you, maybe you just need a restart or a reset in your prayer life. This altar's open for you as we sing and as we do the things at the end of service that we do. Pastor, why do you encourage people to come to the altar? I mean, There's people that tell me things happen spiritually online and they pray a prayer and they make a difference in their life. And there's people here who don't come forward and they tell me later that they made a surrender to Jesus in their pew and in their seat, and that's good. But I want to tell you, there's something about active obedience where we get up and put feet to it and we come and bow and say, this marks the spot. This is the time I'm walking in obedience now. And God's Spirit is here and He wants you to come and get rid of specific things. And that's how you know freedom. You don't have to carry those broken relationships. That's why He said, as much as depends upon you, live at peace. Or you don't have to have those heart motivations that are selfish. Bring it to Jesus. Let Him clear the channel. Take those blockers away. Let Him restore that connection or establish that connection, that vertical connection that will make this transformational.